So we're doing the recap of the Legends of the Northern Blade. We're gonna be do a recap then. So the only recap, I'm gonna do a quick overview. And I'm gonna be getting into breaking down some characters, their motivations, and basically giving my point of view on where I see the story going. Alright, so let's give a quick overview. So Jin Muwan is in a lot of trouble right now. He's now facing off against the Central Heaven Alliance, more specifically, the Kurulian Society led by Seo Moon Hyerung. Listen, I'm gonna be butchering these names. Forgive me, please forgive me. right, but yeah. So she show up there with what's this guy's name? I can't forget his name. Anyway, she show up to confront Jin because if you remember, like two, three, four chapters back, Jin went to save his girlfriend. I like to call her his girlfriend, Unha Sol, aka the White Witch, the Witch of the White Knight, right? She's inherited that title from her master. And so he went to save her from Damso Chan. Again, I'm butchering these names, but you should know. She and Damso Chan was facing off, and it was a huge fight. She went to save him. She got injured. Because of some, the white the Silent Knight sent someone to keep tabs on her in case she betrayed him. She was supposed to be assassinated. So because of that, she took a lot of damage. And Jin Muan took her to the Tang family in order to get her cured. And what? And because of that, they were on high alert to ensure that no one knew what was taking place because this is the enemy of the Central Alliance. And remember, he's from the Northern Blade sect, where they were destroyed for and accused because they were in league with the Silent Knight. So can you imagine? And he just literally won his, not his freedom, but technically his freedom, and basically prove the innocence of his family members as well as his clan and his sect. So now imagine they find evidence, right? One of the most powerful members of the Silent Knight that is with her. So that's pretty much what the overview of what the bringing the climax of this chapter. So now we are seeing the face off between Jin Muan and the people that came in, with this evil girl. I mean, I don't necessarily know if she's evil. Because one of the things I see right now, and I mean, I guess we, from the point of view of us, the viewers, we will consider her evil because she's going against the main character, and we have already anointed the main character as the morally good person, right? But what I've realized with Legend of the Northern Blades, and why I personally like it a lot, is that it tries to be as nuanced and walk within the gray as much as possible. In other words, the more they try to uncover these characters. Even he has faced off with two of his uncles, two of the leading members that were of the in the Northern Blade sect, right? And they betrayed his father and the sect and all of that, and destroyed it. But when they finally meet the end, you can see that even though there were some selfishness and all these things that they motivated their decision, there were some level of, in at least in their eyes, moral justification to do what they do. You know what I'm saying? So it tries to should not just paint everything black and white, and that is what I like. So yeah, that's just a quick overview. I know that you guys watch it, so that's just a quick overview. So let's get into it now. So now Jin is facing off against this guy, if you're right. And what's this guy's name? I can't forget his name, but he came with the girl. Listen, this is the what I love manhwas, but one of the things with manhwas is that because these names are written in Korean, oh my God, these names are hard, man. They are hard to remember, hard to pronounce, all of that. Anyway, he's facing off with this guy. He seems to be the henchman. He's a big, huge figure in the Central Heaven Alliance, but more specifically, he seems to be answering to a specific Nine Heavens member. All right, but also he's also in the Twin Ashura, and let me just give an overview of who the Nine Heavens are and what the Twin Ashura is. And we have gotten some information in this chapter as well as nine last chapter. 2119, what is a twin ashore? So we're gonna be go covering that. So the nine heavens, for those of you who don't know, the nine heavens are a group of nine powerful and untouchable figures that rule over Murim, and are the leading figures of the Central Heavenly Alliance. The nine skies and the Central Heavenly Alliance helped lead to the defeat and the crumble of the Northern Heavenly Sect. Alright, that's Jinmu Sect. I'd always call it Heavenly Blade, Northern Blade Sect, but it's Northern Heavenly Sect. The leader of this group of martial artists is the Seeker of Knowledge, Seo Moon Hwa. And I think his daughter, that's his daughter, is Seo Moon Hwa Rung. Rung, whatever. Listen, I'm butchering these things. She's trying to create her own thing, you know. I guess in her way, she has a chip on her shoulder and trying to over, you know, at least it seems like everyone in the Cruel and Dragon Society have a chip on their shoulder. In other words, they're trying to overcome the nine heavens. It's almost like they're trying to prove to their fathers or grandfathers, or basically the leaders of the nine heavens, that listen, we too are great and can be great, you know. So they are carrying a chip on their shoulder, but let's see if they're going to, you know, in the further up in the story, work together with Jin in order to uncover the immorals and the corruption behind, and the evil behind the nine heavens. All right, so that's the nine heavens, the twin Ashura. Right, based on what we are seeing so far from 119, seems to be an organization that was created by, I'm not sure if it's everyone with the knowledge of everyone in the nine heavens, because what I've seen from previous chapters is that everyone in the nine heavens, even though they are in a league, they also seem to be pursuing their own desires and interests. Like, for instance, one of the nine heavens approached Jinmu Wan, and it seems to, you know, they had a disagreement with the destruction of the heaven, Northern Heavenly Sect, right? And that person approached Jin. However, there was another nine heavens just before these people came to the Tang residence to confront Jin, that seems to have given the order to this guy that Jin is facing off with in the first few panels of 119. They go ahead to basically use the twin Ashura. So in my what I'm thinking is, I'm not sure, I guess most nine heavens have a rough idea what each other is doing, you know, but they're probably not really interfering with each other in order to maintain the power balance, because, you know, anytime there's like strong people in you're in an alliance, it's almost always important to ensure so they don't rock the boat, because, you know, one of these members die and it could cause chaos. You know, people are trying fighting for full power vacuum. So I'm sure most of them have a rough idea, but probably don't know the full details. So I'm not sure if the Twin Ashura is that specific person that give them the go ahead to utilize the group. If that is a lone pet project, or if it's a combination, because one of the things that they said in this chapter is that the Twin Ashura is like insurance, just in case the Silent Night don't do their job good. Anyway, I'm gonna read some of the panels and get into some more further destruction. So I just wanted to give that quick overview, which might have not been quick. We are like a couple minutes in, but this is a podcast, you know, it's long form. So I'm gonna just read through some of the panels, and, you know, let's just say. So, what did you say? What did you just say? So I'm reading a few of the panels right now. What an arrogant bastard. Everyone will be eliminated. That goes for you who just mentioned the Twin Ashura, and also for everyone in the world that's related to you. Right? Oh dear, you speak of the Twin Ashura. Looks like you're rushing to your death, huh? So the Twin Ashura is supposed to, so this is me now talking. The Twin Ashura is supposed to be a secret organization, at least currently. They are moving within the dark. And honestly, I think it's too big to just be one member of the Nine Heavens that knows about it or that is directly involved in it. It might be like a couple of them out of the nine heavens. Not sure exactly how much, but, you know, that's a possibility, right? So I'm getting back to the reading of the panels. That's all the Central Heavenly Alliance rules the world. The secret organization behind the minister of the Central Heavenly Alliance, I'll expose you. So, okay. So they are saying that, so Jin is saying that the Twin Ashura is the secret, you know, sect that is maintaining the power of the Central Heavenly Alliance. So if that is true, then there's multiple people that knows that. That means that most of the nine heavens probably approve of it, except for like probably the person that approached Jin Muan. All right, from the nine events. Keep up with me, guys. I mean, if you guys have read the chapters, you know what I'm talking about, all right? So yeah, I know I'm not specifying names because most of the names I don't remember and all of that, and it's hard to pronounce. Anyway, so right now, Joo Hyun Kwon popped up. So that's the son of the Fist martial artist, the first person that Jin took down, his first uncle. So this is basically, this would be like Jin's cousin. So like, I'm not sure if it's biological cousin or just, you know, structurally, or they do their thing in those type of time. All right, all I've done up until now is just to bait waste your strength, however little that is. Jin Mu and you brat, there's no need to rush. The inescapable net of the Central Evil Alliance is much tougher and thicker than you think. And I think Jin made this point last chapter that, you know, the reason, one of the reasons he's fighting, apart from the fact that he feel like he doesn't really have a choice right now, if he wants to at least escape what the net that they have cast, is that the Central Heavenly Alliance would never have let him go. Not after displaying that much strength and that much power. And now also knowing, you know, with that much strength and power, and at such a young age, allowing someone like that to grow, who is possibly going to be going against your wishes and dreams and shake the very foundation of your creation, you got to get rid of him, all right? So he's now talking to his cousin. He's facing off with his cousin. And keep in mind, his cousin was the one that was responsible for the massacre in the village where he got that comet or the stone or that mineral to make his sword, right? Jin's sword. So they are now conversing. Well, you ended up creating trouble in the end. You're finally showing yourself twin-headed Ashura. Joo Hyun Kwon. My brother, I'm sure I warned you already. Why would you still create trouble like this? Did you miss your older brother that much? So they refer to themselves as brother, which is understandable. Snowflower. So that's the name of Jin's sword. It's time for revenge. Alright, so let's not go through that thing. I'm not going to read anymore, at least not right now. There's a specific thing that I want to talk about. So he's now asking about the Twin Ashura, right? And as I said earlier, let me go specifically to the point where he talk about. So he said the Twin Ashura is a second Silent Night. All right, so Jin is going to question him more again. This is there's a point. I just want to find the specific place. It's similar to an insurance in case the Silent Night stop listening to instructions. It's still growing its power and planting spies in martial arts sects here and there, growing them into important people and things like that, and going around taking care of immature brothers like you. What on earth are you guys doing? I already answered everything. My father knew nothing of it. It's still not too late. Join me. So he's trying to recruit Jin. So the Twin Ashuras, think of the Twin Ashuras like, you know, I think that let's see if I can use some real world examples. So for instance, it's like everyone should know about 9/11. There's some theories going out there that 9/11 was sanctioned by America itself in order to justify them going to war in the Middle East. Now, I'm not sure if that is true, and I wouldn't want to say that is true, but let's assume that is true. The point I'm trying to make is that the Silent Night would be like the Taliban or Al-Qaeda that is necessary in order to justify the power, the maintenance of power of the Central Heavenly Alliance. It's almost like it legitimizes them. Right, here's this big bad enemy that I you need me to protect you from this enemy, even though there's realistically the chance that the nine Central Heaven Alliance are the people that are really the most evil. And if you, when what the based on the little glimpse that we have seen from the Silent Night, it seems that they are just trying to fight to sort of survival. You know, it seems like they are living in destitution, and I'm sure there's a huge backstory because there's no telling what took place. All the nine heavens created the Silent Night. Did they destroy these set of people, destroy their plan, their place? You know, there's no telling, and there's more information to come. But that's pretty much what the Silent Night is. It's almost like this paid opposition. You know, this is a term that I hear a lot now in the political sphere. You know, they call it paid opposition, where you create an opposition in a, you know, in order to create the illusion of choice or the illusion of freedom, and you know, and all of these things, you create oppositions to like an idea, like, oh, see, these people are free to disagree with us, even though the disagreements are never going to be very superficial and not to the point where it's the disagreement will never be to the point where it's obstructing the structural power force, the default power force. In other words, the Silent Knight are powerful enough to create a threat, but not powerful enough to disrupt the power force within the Central Heavenly Alliance, at least not yet. And that is why the Silent Knights have been trying to find these successors that they can train and all that to, you know, regroup and attack. And of course, they're now launching an attack, which, by the way, might be we seem very suspicious, right? Right at the time when Jin Muan, you know, figured, you know, basically allowed himself, he basically get innocent, showcase his innocence and got his freedom back. They attack. Not only that, he's now in the company of the whites, the white witch of this from the Silent Night, witch of the Silent Night. White, you know what I mean? All seems very coincidental, and now they are making a move against him. I don't know if they can get enough evidence to bury him. They could say, "Oh, see, he just." He distracted us by declaring his innocence while the Silent Knight attack, and they were going to attack us from within with Jin Moon and the White Witch. You know, that's just my narrative. I'm not sure. But I'm saying, seems very suspicious, if you ask me. So that's what pretty much it. But one of the interesting points that I really want to get to, you know, it's this talk about ideology and morality. And this is again why another reason why I like the Northern Blade, because you know it gets to the crux of what makes us humans, our motivations, our desires, the moral ideologies that we operate underneath, you know, like what are the restrictions, moral restrictions that I put on myself? I will do this, I will do all these things, but I will not kill another person unless I'm forced to do it. I will not lie, and I will not steal, I will not covet the next person's wife or another of those things. You know, like the Bible have some moral clause, most religions have moral clause. If you are living in a country, there are some moral class in order to maintain the consensus and the cohesiveness of a society. So while Jin and his brother was conversing, you know, Jin was saying, "Yo, not a chance that I will join you. You slaughtered innocent people for the sake of obtaining demonic arts." And his cousin was like, What about what you have done until now? Do you think you are that different from me? Look at what you have done. All these martial artists cut down mercilessly." And Jin was shocked. "What about the newest martial artist you kill ever since you step into the world?" "Ah, because that always they attack you first. Because they always attack you first, so you had no choice but to practice self-defense. They too were just being faithful to their mission. They were also people who were loved by their family and kind and warm friend, lover, and head of the family." And I want to touch on this specific point right here. And you know, he's trying to create a moral argument to basically say, "Oh, Jin is an hypocrite." And in a sense, I see the argument, but it's not 100%, because if they, I don't know, if someone attack me, I have the right to kill or to defend myself. I don't have to kill him, but I have to kill him. But he's making a very interesting point. Not because I was morally right or by law justified to kill this person doesn't mean that dear family member, dear loved ones is going to see it as that. And this is one of the reasons why wars and strife has never stopped, because even though revenge is good, it's nice, it feels good, you are also creating a cycle of hatred. You know, as he says that they were so, like, for instance, you are an American soldier, right? You go to the Middle East, you are fulfilling your wish, you are given the mission, you know, in your government is telling that you are fighting for democracy and freedom of these people, and you go there in the name of democracy and freedom, and you kill these people, you know, you kill the Talibans, and the Talibans are evil, but they too are being driven by some moral ideology. You know, American moral ideology is democracy, freedom, and it's right. I live in Jamaica, basically a part of the West. I have those things. I have freedom of speech. I can make this podcast without worrying, and that it feels good. Why wouldn't I want everyone to feel this way, right? That's such a moral thing. Of course, the people in Afghanistan should have these morals and all of that and all of this. However, the Taliban are looking at it from a different point of view. They are preaching the message of God, Allah. You know, Allah says this is what is right. Allah promises us a life of prosperity and blessings if we just follow these rules and guidelines. They are now in, they have convinced themselves that they are also fighting for morality and what is right. So how do we know what is who is more correct? The truth is, it doesn't matter who is more correct. You want to know the truth from the beginning of time until now? All that was correct was those that were able strong enough to win. And those who were able to write the narrative. That's just the truth of life. There's no right, there's no wrong. Only when you are strong enough to decide that right and wrong. But in and of itself, there's no right or wrong. And that's a problem. And this, again, this is why I like Northern Blade. It tries to show that everything is about perspective. Everything is about culture. We in the West, we think that it's morally right. We think it's morally correct that these people should have freedom and democracy. But guess what? We grew up in the West. Of course we believe that. We are living with this type of reality. Of course, that is what is morally right. And we will kill and fight for it because that is our way of life. It is a part of our culture. But the people in the Middle East, they have also lived and grown up with their culture and their ideology. To them, that is second nature. That is right. They will also fight and kill for it. This is one of the reasons why it's so hard to achieve peace in the human world. Because when as Payne put it best, as long as there's rich and poor, as long as there's high, there's low, as long as there's fat, there's slim, black, white, these differences create different realities, different expectations for us. It creates strife in our heart. Mother Rosa said it in his speech. That say, as long as there's winners, there have to be losers. For you to be conquered, there has to be someone that is being conquered. And these realities and these complexities is what cause humans to be driven and do all sort of evil. Because even the man that you hate the most heinous man, they turn, right? They are family members that love them. Right? This is also why terrorism is so hard to solve. No matter how much America kill these terrorists, there's always more terrorists. Because America, believe it or not, these terrorists are the loved ones. They, as Jin's brother says, a kind and they're, they have friends, they are lover, and they are the head of families as well. You kill a terrorist, to his kid, he might not have been a terrorist. To his kid, he might have been the most awesome father. I know you kill him, which you have the right to do. He was a terrorist. He was hurting people, but he's not seeing it that way. He's not looking at it logically because we are emotional beings. That's my father you just killed. Yes, 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 yes. He was a terrorist. I don't know about that. All I know is that he was a good father to me. And that's the moral argument he's making at Jinwa. And that's a good argument, but not from the point of view to say that Jin is just like him. It's a good argument to me to say that war and strife, if you were just going around just killing people in order to watch in the name of revenge, you're going to have to be killing for the rest of your life or just completely wipe out your enemy and done. Don't show any mercy. Because as long as they live, even one of them and they have vengeance and hate in there, they're going to come after you. Right? So, you know, this conversation gone, but the ones I killed were innocent. No, they also raised their spears and swords and came from my neck because of the situation they had, the ambitions they had, the benefits they gained. Don't you know that as well? The northern heavenly sect that had protected the central plains for hundreds of years was boxed up by so many from the central plains. No matter how much time has passed, the rules of the world don't change. The weak will fall prey to the strong. There is no complete evil or complete righteousness. And these are facts. I believe this. But again, it doesn't matter. It's all about who is strong enough to make the point. You know, that's just it. There's no complete evil, even the most evil man in the world that you can think of. I'm sure there's some good in him. He might be the devil to one person, but a angel to the next person. That's just how the lie world is. And that is why, you know, the Bible say, we should be kind to one another. Because the interactions that you have on the day-to-day can determine whether or not a person is going to kill the next man or not. You know, probably a person was having a bad day and was thinking about committing suicide. I was thinking about going into a school and shooting it up. But you tell him good morning, you smiled at him, you said, you know, you look like a wonderful gentleman. And that interaction probably just switches man. You know what? No, I won't bother do it. That's the reality of life. Let me just read some more of this. This is going on for a while, but I really enjoying it. There's no complete evil or complete righteousness. Look at you. You have become an apex predator. Even started ruling as one before you realize it, haven't you? From my point of view, you're also getting addicted to that feeling of enjoying it unknowingly. Every time you swing your sword, people end up like cut tofu. Even those stupid strong martial masters would fall in front of you. How fun must that be for you? Or are you different from me? Do you think I'm the only one who is like a demon? You might disagree with me, but you are a demon among the demons who relish the taste of blood. And that's, again, I don't think Jin is evil, but then again, I am biased. I believe that what he's doing is justified, because why? I have basically bought into the narrative of Jin. This man was just minding his business. They take over his city, he suffered, and he's a good person. He treats people good. He doesn't have, he's kind and all of these things. However, the people that he's killing don't give see that way. They are seeing a different Jin. They are seeing an apex predator Jin. They're seeing a man who was able to fight against one of the four strongest persons from the heavenly sect, right? They are seeing someone, when he was fighting against his own clan, eventually win that fight. Everyone was shocked. That was how powerful he is. He's now an apex predator that is driving fear into the hearts of people. And this is where the problem comes now. No, he's now a threat to the central heavenly alliance. They want to get rid of him because he has now become strong enough to shake the foundation of power within their area of influence, and this comes down to it. Now, for everybody who's now bought into the Central Heavenly Alliance ideology, they are going to want to stop him because to them, Jin is nothing more than a demon who is now trying to destroy their way of life. Again, there's logics. No. Most people can logically look at it and say, no, he's not trying to destroy your way of life. You are the one that is not coming after him. He just wanted to prove he's innocent and he's going by his way. I know you guys are attacking him. He's trying to reunite with his beautiful wife and you guys are attacking him. True, to a sense. But these people are not looking at it like this, because this is the thing about power. And this is why power corrupt absolutely. It changes the way you look at the world when you are in power. When you are paid to. This is also one of the problems with capitalism in a sense. Not just capitalism, but just when you are benefit, when you gain great benefit from being in a particular culture, being a party, having a particular point of view, having a particular belief system, loyalty to a particular, when you are getting immense benefit from those point of view, it's hard to see anything different. Even if you're smart and they're kind of telling the truth, but this is the thing that is giving me my survival and my relevance. That's the problem that even the people in the center, they have been so powerful for long. They know that they are corrupt, and instead of changing, they say, you know what, why not just be strong enough or hold on anyone that was strong enough to change away, because they're benefiting from it. That is why power corrupt and absolute power corrupt absolutely. And then Jin is replying, sure, you're right. In the end, I am a monster that has spilled too much blood. I am just a pathetic and weak human. But fighting to protect something and fighting to take away something is totally different. Drop the contradictions. Right? So Jin is now trying to create a distinction between the two. And this is a correct distinction. He's fighting to protect while someone is trying to fight him to take away. So in other sense, Jin is now fighting to protect his friends. Is the Tang family, is his wife or girlfriend, he's now fighting to protect those things, and they are now coming at him trying to take that away. Of course, he has to stand up and fight. And unfortunately for all those innocent, I won't even call them innocent, unfortunately for all those martial artists that he cut down in doing so, they had to take orders from, they are taking orders and they are following the orders, they are being paid to take orders. They are getting benefits from taking those orders, and that is why they carry those orders out. Of course, they probably think it's wrong, but they are not in a position to say and walk away, because some of them probably in debt, even in today's world. A lot of soldiers don't actually want to do the things that they are being paid to do, but that's what they are getting paid to do, so they got to do it. Right? So that's it. Boy, I tell you, I love this thing, man. It's really great. So a lot of people are dying. That's pretty much it. And also a lot of people are in the getting away and all of that. That's pretty much my recap. That the most important parts of these chapters for me. Of course, the guy is trying to redeem himself. The Tang disciple, the new disciple. Basically, he was the one that let slip that Jin was hiding his girlfriend, and he's trying to redeem himself. I feel sorry for him, and I understand. It must. I can just understand the amount of guilt he's probably carrying, knowing that, oh my gosh, because of my folly, all this thing is happening. I know, destroy my the Tang family and all of that, my master and all of that. But he's doing what he can in order to redeem himself, and that's commendable. And of course, he didn't really mean to do it, and so you have to give him props for that. So that's pretty much the recap for this chapter. This one is longer than usual, but man, I got to tell you guys, I really enjoy Northern Blade, and I'm reading this on Luminous Scan. You guys can go there and read it. They are translating it for us and all of that good stuff. So yeah, read it over there. But I really enjoy this chapter. No ch new chapter came out today, which is kind of sad, but doesn't matter. Enjoy it anyway. Just look forward to next week. And if you guys enjoy this, subscribe to me on YouTube. If you are listening to this on Spotify, follow me on Spotify. Give me a rating, a 5-star rating on Spotify. If you listen to me on Apple Music, follow me there as well. Subscribe to me there, and also give me a 5-star rating. And I launched a subscription model where you guys can subscribe to get exclusive episodes, as well as I'll allow you guys to be guests on the podcast. You guys I give you the option to talk to me on the podcast, recommend a manga or a show that you would like for me to review, recap, give theories and all of that. Black Clover, I'm gonna be doing a Black Clover episode soon. I have to catch up on One Piece, Boruto, Jujutsu Kaisen, Demon Slayer, so much of them, man. So much I have so much to catch up on, but I will catch up on them and all of that. So thank you guys for supporting the podcast, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Bye.